everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and we're going to talk outdoor recreation, one of my favorite subjects today. We have back, we've had him before, but it's been a year or more, Michael Spivey, president and CEO of the Ozark Foundation. Thank you for making the drive down from Northwest Arkansas to be with us today.
Well, Rex, it's great to be back with you again.
Yeah, always great. Now, I don't want to assume that anybody heard the first time around, and I don't want to assume that they remember if they did hear the first time around. So I guess as a primer, before we get into events and activities and so forth, just kind of a overview of just what the Ozark Foundation is and what it does.
Well, Rex, we're happily in our fifth year of operations now. Started in 2020. And the Ozark Foundation puts on outdoor recreation events in Arkansas. We're based in Bentonville. Our mission is to position the state of Arkansas as a premier outdoor recreation destination. And we also have a sub-mission, if you will, to lower or eliminate barriers to entry, and a lot of barriers to entry to outdoor recreation. And if those barriers are financial or accessibility, we seek to lower those to the greatest extent possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about your background and how your journey led you to head the Ozark Foundation.
Well, it's a bit of an unusual journey, Rex. I'm an attorney.
Yeah.
Spent bulk of my career at Walmart, and previous to that, I was in Washington, D.C. with the Export-Import Bank as an attorney there. And I spent about 7 years in South Africa with Walmart, and that was the catalyst that really opened up my eyes to possibilities of an outdoor recreation ecosystem in Arkansas. In South Africa, in my opinion at least, you got some of the best world-class outdoor events, cycling, swimming, golf, you name it. Mm-hmm. A lot of that has to do with the climate down there. And I got to participate in a lot of those events while I was there, and came back and was committed to try to recreate something like that in my home region here in Arkansas. And I retired from Walmart in 2019. Doesn't seem possible.
Yeah.
And took a year off and started the Ozark Foundation in the midst of a pandemic. Not the most opportune time to start a new venture, but we did. And we've attracted a lot of community support along the way. Our first event that we really got involved in was the Cyclocross World Championship in January of 2021. So we started at the top of the heap, if you will. And we've been doing events since then. We produce and operate about 20 of our own events a year. And
20? Wow. Wow.
And then we support another 20. So we're a nonprofit, and so we will help other folks get their events started. If they need equipment, we provide all sorts of infrastructure for them to put on successful events. And then we own and operate, again, 20 events throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about, and I know from so many logistical purposes, that the pandemic was not a good time to start a foundation like this. Yet, when it comes to outdoor recreation, as we look back on the pandemic now, outdoor recreation exploded during the pandemic. And I think we can safely say, I'll see if you agree with me, I think I can safely say that a lot of people, certainly here in Arkansas, discovered things in our state that they never knew they had. And a lot of people from surrounding states, trying to get out of the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, what have you, discovered what Arkansas had to offer from an outdoor recreational status through the pandemic.
That's correct. So pandemic hits, people are at home, everybody goes out and buys a bike,
mm-hmm.
and which is a great thing. and everybody went out and bought a pair of hiking shoes.
Sales just exploded. Yeah, all that kind of thing.
They did. We're now suffering a bit of a hangover from that, actually. Bike sales are down, and it's a tough market out there for folks in that business because, you know, once people went back to work, that bike sat in the garage.
Weren't using as much,
And so it's a tough time in that market. On our side of the market, on the event side, we've seen a little slowdown, but we're still benefiting from the COVID pandemic tailwind a little bit. And, you know, we tend to play in some spaces that others don't. We do a lot in the youth space, and that's been really strong for us. And hopefully that will continue.
You know, we have really talked a lot, and you and I talked the last time you were here. I've written a lot about positioning Arkansas as a real hub for outdoor recreation for the whole central third of the country. And I feel like we're making progress in that area. You know, you look back on the pandemic, and I want to stay with that for a minute, and we're still too close to it for people to really understand how it changed our society. But one way it changed our society is I know a lot of people figured out they no longer had to work in that big, tall tower in downtown Chicago or downtown Detroit or downtown Dallas or Houston even. They, as long as they had good broadband internet, could do their work from anywhere. And so they began looking for places with a lower cost of living, with less crime, with less traffic congestion, where people were more hospitable, and especially with young people, began looking for places with abundant outdoor recreational opportunities within a close drive of where they lived. And certainly, you take all of those things, from cost of living to outdoor recreation, and Arkansas seems well-positioned to be able to capitalize on the changes in our society if we play our cards right as a state.
Well, that's correct. So Arkansas benefits from some real natural benefits and advantages. One is we're in the central part of the United States, so easy drive.
Easy to get to.
From a lot of different locations. We have 70,000 miles of unpaved roads in Arkansas, and that's about 85% of the total roads in Arkansas. So we are one of the large states in the United States, a lot of public lands, more so than most other states. So there's a lot of public states, whether it's forestry land or state park land or Game and Fish Commission, wildlife management areas to work with. So plus we have a diversity of topography, which is very important. You know, there's a big difference between the Ozarks and the Delta. And so we can do a lot of different types of events that a lot of states can't do.
Yeah, the diversity is, I think, one of our keys to Arkansas, and a place where you can do everything from rock climbing in the mountains on one side of the state to kayaking through lowland swamps on the other side of the state. And not every state offers that. I often, Michael, use when I speak around the state, I use the example. I live in far west Little Rock, and I use the example of being able to come down to Highway 10, Cantrell Road, and turn right and go 30 minutes or turn left and go 30 minutes and be in two entirely different cultures. I turn right and go west for 30 minutes. I'm in Perryville, Perry County, Upland, National Forest, a real upland culture, or I turn left and go just the other side of North Little Rock, and I'm in Scott, Arkansas, home of the Plantation Agriculture Museum, and I might as well be in Clarksdale, Mississippi. It's very much the Delta. Now, that's 30 minutes either way from my house.
Yeah, and it's similar in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
You can get into a lot of different topography if you go east from Bentonville. You're in Eureka Springs, and
right.
That is some rugged area.
Very rugged mountains.
But
yeah.
You can head west and you're in the Gravette area and it starts flattening out there on the Ozark Plateau.
Yeah.
So there's one thing that's also, I think, unique about Arkansas is our Parks and Tourism Department is fully supporting the outdoor recreation economy in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stress enough of how important that is, whether it's from the event side or just the leisure side, from people coming here and enjoying a weekend in a state park, is having that kind of support is critical.
Yeah. You know, I went to work for Governor Mike Huckabee in the governor's office on the day he took office, which was July the 15th of 1996. And the first big project that we worked on after getting over the initial humps was passage of what is now Amendment 75 to the Arkansas Constitution, which is the 1/8 cent sales tax. It is perpetual. And really now, in the almost 30 years, hard to believe it's been that long since the passage of that, we have gone from we were literally holding up our state parks with masking tape to what most believe, and I certainly believe, to be the finest state park system in America. Game and fish, what we've done there, 45% went to state parks for capital improvements, 45% to the Game and Fish Commission, 9% for what was then the department, now the Division of Heritage, and 1% to keep Arkansas beautiful. And that started us on this journey to being, a real hub. I think you can look back in Arkansas history and say the passage, and it passed by less than 51% of the vote, by the way, but the passage of that amendment was really a game changer and set Arkansas on a new course.
I think that may be Governor Huckabee's legacy.
I agree. I think it's just, he did a lot of great things. I'm biased. I was with him almost 10 years, but I think that's the top of the list right there.
I grew up in the close to the War Eagle community in Northwest Arkansas, and the state government bought that tract of land, that 11,000 acre plus tract of land in the mid 70s. And for years, it sat stagnant.
Yep.
There was no money to do anything with it. People were dumping their trash and cars and refrigerators, and it was an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
But now, there's a beautiful visitor center there. There's trails there for multi-use purposes, horseback riding, hiking, cycling. They've done tremendous work with that park, and I have a special affinity to that park and spend a lot of time on it. But that's just one of many state parks throughout the state who've also enjoyed that same benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that has led the private sector to really up its game. We've got more, you know, beautiful places for people to stay, for people to eat. We've got more on the way. So we have seen that outdoor recreational economy continue to grow. In fact, as we tape this, now people are going to be listening to it later, but as we tape that, just yesterday, one of my good friends in Jasper called me and said, there's a lot of new heavy equipment that has just shown up at the Dog Patch location. So it looks like Johnny Morris is moving forward with his nature park there in a big way.
Well, there's the private sector stepping in, right?
Talking about the private sector, yeah.
And this weekend, what brings me to Little Rock, or one of the reasons that brings me to Little Rock, other than coming down here to do your show, Rex, is we're having an event at Pinnacle State Park, which they've done some amazing improvements
there. And their visitor center now is receiving architectural recognition around the country, winning all kinds of awards.
Well, we're going to be there all weekend. We have a bike race there on Sunday. And then we're also this year assuming ownership of Race the Base Trail Run. So we're going to add that to our portfolio of events, and we're excited to be out there. But it's beautiful. They've done such a magnificent job out there.
Yeah. So again, we started with that. Arkansans decided to invest that money, which again, unless we pass another amendment, God forbid, to undo this amendment, it's in the Constitution forever. And then the private sector starts getting on board, so we have seen steady progress. Now, back in August, you sent me a news release, and this is very significant, so I want you to explain the significance, but it was that the Runway Group, which is Tom and Stuart Walton's holding company that does so much. I've written a lot about their efforts in real estate development and hospitality. They transitioned their rural recreational roads, called R3 for short, to the Ozark Foundation. Now, this was launched in late 2022. It supports the promotion of gravel roads for cyclists and outdoor enthusiasts. You mentioned our number of gravel roads in the state earlier, so I want you to go in depth a little bit about what R3 is and where the foundation plans to go with that effort.
Sure. Well, this is an exciting program that was launched. It was Vision of Tom Walton, and they began it as a pilot project up in Benton County, and created some hubs, created some signage along the routes, identified certain roads in Benton County that wanted to identify as multi-purpose, not just for cyclists, but for, you know, folks who live on these roads and make their living on these roads, and other people who may want to drive their motorcycles or their bikes on these roads, keep them safe for everybody. And that was the vision of the program. The program has since been expanded over in Craighead County. Our mutual friend Martin Smith has done some work over there with the project. And Runway approached us about a year and a half ago and said, you know, we want someone who has a statewide reach and who's kind of in the business, if you will. We're putting on events on a lot of gravel roads in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
We know where they are, and work with different private, public stakeholders to see what we can do with it and expand it. So that's what we've done. And so we announced it in August. We're now working with the state of Arkansas, the Department of Agriculture. They have an unpaved roads program where they provide grant funding to counties and localities who have unpaved roads and want to improve them or at least maintain them. You know, the thing about an unpaved road, and, you know, as I mentioned, you know, there's 70,000 miles of them in our state.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them.
If they're not maintained, they can create environmental problems for waterways, streams, and creeks with runoff. But if they're maintained properly, you can mitigate a lot of that. So we're going to be partnering with them and helping with some public outreach around the environmental conservation piece of that, plus working with communities who want to identify these roads with, you know, potentially cyclists, and hopefully that will bring some economic activity into some of these communities. So far, it's been very well received. We actually hired someone from Cave City, a fellow by the name of Bobby Fenster.
Gotcha.
Really good fellow.
Love Cave City. One of my favorite mayors in the state is Jonas in Cave City.
Jonas is one of the best.
Yeah.
Maybe really the is. Best.
Yeah, I agree. Former president of the Arkansas Municipal Association. Just go ahead. I'm getting you off subject.
And we don't have to talk about watermelon, but they would be angry.
As you know,
me.
I love small town Arkansas and write about small town Arkansas.
Great watermelon and Cave City. And so we're going to be working with communities all over the state. We have some prioritized areas that we're going to focus on, particularly those that have been identified with some environmental concerns in the state. And so we're off and running, and we got Bobby splitting time between Cave City and Bentonville, but he's going to be on the road a lot working with mayors and county judges around the state.
Yeah, that's exciting. Now, of course, again, you are headquartered in Bentonville, which in many ways is becoming the cycling capital of America. It's exciting to watch that vision come to reality, but it is, again, important to mention that you are a statewide organization. I also, as you know, write a lot about the Delta, mainly because I think if you're going to be a true statewide newspaper, you can't be ignoring the entire eastern half of the state, which I don't think we probably write about enough here. We are nearing the completion, and when I say we, I'm mainly talking about the state of Arkansas, Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism, to be exact, but of the Delta Heritage Trail. The big pieces, of course, were those old railroad bridges over the lower Arkansas and the lower White Rivers to turn them in to bridges for cyclists and hikers, along with what the St. Francis Levy District has done in opening up its levees to cyclists and hikers too. Once Delta Heritage is open, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. I've written a lot about it in the past, but certainly we'll write about it once it's open. You'll be able to go pretty much from downtown Memphis all the way to Arkansas City and far southeast Arkansas on designated trails. And I have to think that's going to be a national class attraction for a lot of people. And it takes you through some of the wildest land in mid-America, too.
Well, we've spent a lot of time in the Delta in the last 6 months, and we spent a lot of time on the Heritage Trail, mm-hmm. which the state of Arkansas has done a fantastic job.
Oh, it's been a great project.
And excited to see it fully built out.
Again, thanks to Minimum 75 for a lot of that funding again. Yeah.
Yep. And the thing about that area is it exposes you to a lot of different topography and ecosystems within the Delta. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed. I hadn't been down to certain parts of that. I was just amazed. We were there in August, so it was hot as can be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's canopied. Good portions of that are mm-hmm. canopied. And mm-hmm. it's just such an interesting... There's a few alligators down there, too.
Oh, they're alligators and they're bears. You know, we have seen that, and with the unfortunate attacks, we're reading a lot more about bears in Arkansas. But certainly we have seen about the comeback. But, you know, the last surviving native Arkansas bears, people would think just off the top of their mind, they'd say, well, the mountains, the Ozark Mountains or the Washita Mountains. No, it was the lower White River region where bears survived when we had killed them out in the rest of the state. So those are the last remaining pure Arkansas bears. I'm telling you, it's wild country down there. Faulkner described as the Big Woods. It's the largest remaining track of the Big Woods in the lower Mississippi River region.
And let's not forget the ivory-billed woodpecker.
Oh, yeah.
It's down there. We just...
I wish we'd have another sighting. That brought a lot of money to Arkansas, yeah. Let me tell you. We need a lot of sighting. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I've always say, I do these Delta food tours where we go out and eat barbecue and fried fish and tamales, and it's great fun. But as I drive through the cache bottoms, where the sighting supposedly was, I'll always talk about the ivory bill and always tell my folks that I'm taking it on tour. Yeah, we badly need another sighting because it brought a lot of money to the Brinkley-Monroe County area back then.
I know they appreciated it and needed every dime.
All right, I want to talk about some of the events you've got coming up. Walk me through some of the major events that are on the calendar.
Well, let's start with... what we're talking about in the Delta. So mm-hmm. the Arkansas Graveler, yep. which is a multi-day gravel bike ride. It's not a race.
Right, right.
And Rex, as you know, in fact, that's what brought me on your show 2 years ago. We announced the inaugural race, which right. went from Fayetteville to Jonesboro. I learned a few lessons on that. Lesson one is the ruggedness of the Ozarks should not be underestimated. Putting 400 cyclists on gravel roads in the Ozarks in late June, not the best idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And
hot, humid,
yeah,
dusty.
Yeah, yeah. All of the above.
Yeah.
And I think we dispensed with more hydration packs and during those 6 days than probably any event in Arkansas. But it was an amazing experience, you know, being able to, you know, go from, you know, right over the crown of mm-hmm. the Ozarks was an amazing experience. We had folks from over 35 states first year. And this year, learning from some of those lessons, we went to the Washitas. And we started off in Mena. I know you have a special affinity for Mena.
Absolutely. And we can talk about the lifts on the Rich Mountain and all, but yep. go ahead. Yep. Big and things about to happen there.
Big things are going to happen there. And went to Glenwood and went to Hot Springs, Morrilton, and then Russellville. So we had the Washita piece. So the next natural place to go is the Delta.
Yes.
So 2026 Arkansas Graveler, we're calling it the Delta Blues Edition. Now, we're not going to go there in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Not wise. We're going to go there in October.
So it's perfect month. Yeah. Yep,
October 2026 is going to coincide with the King Biscuit Blues Festival.
Oh, great.
So
great.
I can't give all the details of the event, but that's one thing that, you know, we'll let the cat out of the bag on that. And so think about the Graveler Delta event. It's about the culture of the Delta. So think, you know, food. You mentioned barbecue. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Mr. Jones over in Marianna, Arkansas. James Beard, award-winning.
That's always our first stop on my Delta food tour.
There you go.
Mr. Harold, as they call him locally, tends to run out very early in the morning since winning that James Beard award.
And so, when he's out, he's out.
Yeah, I mean, he goes. Yeah, he's only going to smoke so much a day. And if people come in and buy it by the pound, sorry, you may see the close sign at 10 a.m. So I always recommend people have barbecue for breakfast there. And barbecue's very good at breakfast, by the way.
I endorse it. Think of duck gumbo in a community that's known for duck hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a duck calling contest. Now think about folks nationwide, maybe some international tourists coming over, cyclists coming over, and being able to experience both duck gumbo and a duck calling contest. I promise you there aren't many cycling events in the world that
would
bring those two things
together. Oh, I love it. I love it already.
And then we've got the music of the Delta.
Yeah.
Think Johnny Cash, got Levon Helm.
Absolutely.
From Turkey Scratch, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And, you know,
suburb of Marvel, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, his home has been relocated
to Marvel.
So.
And that's one of the places I take my Delta food tour people by, too.
Well, Rex, you're a natural for the Arkansas Graveler.
You don't want my big self, fat self up on a bike, though.
E-bikes are allowed.
I gotcha.
And then the Arkansas Heritage Trail. And, you know, we've got to, you know, see our friend down in Arkansas City, Robert Moore,
one of my favorite people in the world.
Great mayor down there, Mayor Blissett. Yeah. She's a real sweetheart. And they're so eager to have us down there. And we're looking forward to being down there. So it's going to be a 5-day Delta extravaganza.
That sounds great.
And the thing about the Graveler, it's about slowing down. Mm-hmm. And it's about enjoying the ride, going to places that you typically would not go to. It's about the off-bike experience. It's about the fishing derby that we host every year with the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. Mm-hmm. It's about that archery contest. I promise you there are folks who will be on that ride who are just there to win that archery contest.
Yeah.
I mentioned the duck calling contest. We'll have a skeet shooting contest. Mm. So we're bringing in different parts of what make Arkansas unique into a outdoor cycling event.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Very exciting.
And that's October of 2026.
Right. You gave me a little literature here, October 6th through 10th. So something to look forward to a year from now. In the meanwhile, you also gave me Memorial Day weekend of next year, the Oz Stage Race, a multi-day experience. Talk about that for a second.
So the Oz Stage Race is a 3-day mountain bike stage race. It is a race.
Yeah, actual race, yeah.
Yeah. So this one is timed, and it will attract a national audience of some of the, you know, best cyclists out there trying to, you know, win a little money. We just announced a $15,000 prize purse to that event, which is a significant prize purse for a first-year event.
Mm-hmm.
We're capping it at 400 people. The registration opens in November 8th, so it's coming up fast. And it is a classic single-track technical mountain bike race. But off the bike, and it's one of the things we try to do to all our events, is elevate them beyond the bike experience. So gotcha. Off the bike, there'll be a chill zone, and there'll be, you know, a bike valet, a wash station. We'll serve lunch and, you know, hydrate people, and we'll have a finisher party in Northwest Arkansas. So it will be one of our legacy events, like the Graveler. Memorial Day weekend, we're going to have a special pricing for veterans and have a special presentation for our military veterans and active service men and women. We're going to do a special pricing for kids under the age of 23 and under. So we want to, that's another one of those things of lowering barriers to entry. So they'll get a special price for that. And then also the coaches, the high school bike coaches under the NICA program, the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, we're going to provide some special pricing for them. And then finally, you know, these trails don't take care of themselves. They take people who go out and maintain them. And oftentimes, Rex, those are done with volunteers. They're not paid, and they're out there in the hot of the summer, and they're in the cold of winter. And after storms, you know, we had those tornadoes up in Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, I was up there right afterward.
The trails were devastated. Mm-hmm. And we're still digging out some of that.
Yeah.
And that's largely done through volunteers. So we're going to offer some special prices and discounts to folks who, you know, volunteer so many hours.
Yeah. Yeah. You were talking about being raised in the War Eagle effort. I was a little too optimistic, I guess, on cleaning the roads. I wanted to go up and see the damage that it had done. So I came up last spring after those tornadoes, drove through Rogers, and then took the highway out to Hobbs State Park and out to War Eagle and all. And I say I was a little too optimistic because I ended up buying a new tire. I did tear up a tire with tornado damage.
Well,
should have seen that coming, going that quickly.
Yeah, Roger.
It was only about a week after the storms, and it was devastating in that area.
Yeah, yeah. Rogers in particular, the east side of Rogers, where I grew up, it will never look the same in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, those old growth trees were just completely torn up. And then Hobbs itself.
Oh, it was a mess. You could still hear the chainsaws going everywhere the day I was out there.
And
it was about 10 days after the storm.
Yeah, I called the superintendent out there, Mark Clippinger. He's been out there for, Mark's probably been there for 30, 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mark, I've got a 22-inch chainsaw here. I'm happy to come out and help. He said, Mike, keep your chainsaw at home. He goes, this is for the big boys.
Yeah, this is big time here. Yeah. We're going to take. Yeah,
we're going to hire some logging crews.
Yeah. But I sense now, coming up on almost a year and a half, that they've done a great job of cleaning everything up.
They have. They've made a lot of progress. And but you can look into the woods and you just still see all the fallen timber. It's going to take a while.
Absolutely it will. So we're running out of time. I've got to wrap up, and I try to anticipate listener questions. And one I know some are wanting to say, because the events we've talked about are, is everything you do, is it cycling related, or are you involved in any other kind of outdoor recreational?
We're involved events? In a lot of different type of things. I would say probably 60% of our activities or events involve a bike.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're involved in a swimming event that we started, and now we continue to support it. It's the largest freshwater, open water swim in the central part of the United States, called the Oz Mile Swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1 mile swim.
Yeah.
And actually, it just happened a few weeks ago. I did it and living to talk about it. It's a lot of fun.
I did a mile for a Boy Scout merit badge, but that's been many decades ago, let me tell you.
Well,
in Lake Greeson.
Okay. Well, this is a good one. It's out on Beaver Lake by the Beaver Dam, and great water in that part of the lake. And so that's one we support. We do a lot in the kids youth space. A lot of that's on a bike. Next year we're actually going to do an adventure race, which is going to be running and rock climbing and working a compass to, you know, orienteer to a certain point. So we do some fun things like that. And then we do a lot of the multi-sport, think triathlons, adventure racing. This year we hosted the U.S. Adventure Race National Championships, where we had approximately 100 teams nationwide on a 30-hour race, which included canoeing on the Illinois River. They went over the Woka Park in Siloam Springs. I know you know where that is,
right? I do.
And they ran it around the Lake Weddington area. They trekked in that area and then wound up at the Ledger in downtown Bentonville.
Great.
And they had 30 hours.
Yeah.
And the winning team came in about 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long day's work.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
But we do focus on cycling. That's
okay.
That's our bread and butter. And but we say we're interested in anything that's not on a motorized vehicle.
Understood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Wow. Exciting times ahead. Michael, thank you for joining us. I'm not going to wait 2 years the next time. I've got to get you back because so much going on. But again, appreciate you making the trip down. Michael Spivey from the Ozark Foundation. Much ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.